What's happening, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. This is another weekly meetup that I wanted to share with you guys. This took place inside the Thrive After Sports collaborative community. If you guys haven't joined that community, you're missing out. Check the links in the show notes right now. Click to join. It's free. For right now, it's free. At the time of this recording, it is free to join. Did I mention it was free? What you have in there is current athletes, former athletes, athletes turned entrepreneurs. I have my mentors in there. I have people who I've been running with for years who are just killing it and thriving in life after sports. And I have some current student athletes who are in there, current student athletes and current professional athletes as well. Anyway, you want to join. I'm not going to be sharing all of these meetups with the public, so to speak. I just every now and then, we've only had four meetups. This was the fourth one. I shared the second one that we had, and I'm sharing this one, which is the fourth meetup. I just started doing these a month ago, and we have them once a week. So I want you to hear the recording so you can see, I mean, frankly, what you're missing out on. Like the amount of wisdom or business advice that was dropped on here from, you'll hear Kim Brady, who's been on this podcast time and time again. And you'll hear Adam Schumann, who I don't think you've heard on the podcast yet. Adam is one of my business mentors. He's given me so much advice and wisdom business-wise over the years. He's just a phenomenal businessman in general. He gave myself and Kim some great advice on this. And then we had Shear Kellner, who's one of my former coaching clients. She jumped on at the end. So I'm sharing all this with you to say, like, you'll be able to listen to this recording and get a lot from it, no matter where you're at, where you're a current athlete or a former athlete, or just trying to get your business off the ground or take your business to the next level. You'll be able to get a lot from it by listening to the recording. But the thing I want you to keep in mind is if you're actually inside of the group and you're able to join these calls, you'll be able to ask questions and get ideas about your specific situation in real time. So I keep telling you guys, like, I started this thing because I'm thinking to myself, if I was a, athlete, a current athlete or an athlete kind of winding out of my career and trying to figure out what I want to do next, or just have questions about business, or I need some guidance or direction. If I would have had something like this available to me at that time, I would have been on it every single day, trying to network and meet people and ask questions and get in front of people who have already made it through the other side of the transition. So, like I said, I'm not going to share every single call. You got to join the group if you want to come on there and watch every single call recording, and you want to be able to come on the calls live and ask questions and all that type of stuff. So, anyway, I love you guys. Thank you for tuning into the show. For those of you guys who are in the group, thank you for coming on and joining the meetings and giving value to the people on the calls, but also giving value to the people watching the recordings. But that's it. Enjoy the recording. Join the link in the show notes. You can be part of the Thrive After Sports collaborative community. And I hope to see you on the next weekly meetup. I love you guys. I see you on the very next episode. And I'll see you inside the Thrive After Sports collaborative community. Peace.
I'm gonna get some coffee.
Okay. Cool.
Need some coffee for that,
Kim, were you able to connect with Dre, by the way? Dre Baldwin?
I will schedule some time with him, just to see if we can chat a little bit. But I don't just want to have meetings for meetings. They drive me crazy, and I don't want to waste his time or mine. And so I need to be very clear on what my expectation is of that meeting. Which it really is just a brainstorming conversation because you and Aswan mentioned to talk to him. And I just want to make sure that I'm just, I mean, we can do call after call after call after call in this land of virtual stuff. And I've found that I have to be very, very strategic in who I have meetings
Right.
with my time. Yeah. So yeah.
You know,
That's a long answer to your question.
I think a good group for you may be knowing that you want people that business owners that are in business for multi years at least have revenues they can pay for your services. Do you do anything with the EO, Entrepreneurship Organization?
No, because I haven't been able to afford it. You have to
Yeah,
be
right.
at a certain level. I don't qualify.
Yeah, because they are all, certain years.
Yeah,
And they're a certain level
you
of
have to be
revenue.
vetted, and you have to have earned over $1 million in your business or something like that. They vet you completely, and I don't qualify.
Yeah, which is a little, it's a little, and the requirements are a little bit.
The requirements were I've looked at it a few times. Frank Egan, I don't know if you guys know him. He's a really nice person. My friend referred me to him just chat with. He does a lot of networking things. He told me about Alignable. I just joined that. I've never been on it. but it is about small business owners, and you can be more local in your community, which is, I don't have any clients here in Southern California. I had 5 clients up in Northern California, but none down here in Southern California. And it would be nice to have some clients here in town, right? Because I could start building a network of people where I can find attorneys and CPAs and bankers and insurance folks that my clients would need to possibly have different networking styles. But it's very difficult to, I don't want to be in like a BNI where you're required to do something and required to do all the referrals, because my clients are national. And so it's very hard to refer people in a local environment when you don't have local clients. And so I was kind of excited about joining Alignable for that reason, was that, you know, it really kind of lends to people in your area. I've already kind of chatted with a few people and see if I can have some meetings, some possible conversation. Within the first week, this guy, he's an accountant, and he goes, he liked what I wrote, and he and his business partners in San Diego, he's in Texas. And he said, I really think that we should discuss things, because you come from a background of payroll with paychecks, and then you built your own business. You know what you're doing. And we need clients who might need your services because their accounting is fucked up. So I'm like, okay, sweet. So those are the right type of people for me, right? So
you mentioned accounting firms, law firms. Are you looking at them to be a pipeline for you, for their clients? Because I've been CMO at both law firms and accounting firms. I spent most of my working career in professional services.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really good groups of also accounting firms that only work with small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be an organization to tap into, because again, they're all accounting firms who cater to small business. So they're all their clients are all the folks that we're all going after. And the challenge is, like you said, it's having a small business that's small enough, but has enough revenue that mm-hmm. can pay for your services. And, you know, those are the clients you want. Obviously, the ones that know they don't know everything and don't mm-hmm. know what they don't know, those are your best ones.
Exactly.
The ones that you talk to, and every time you say, do this, 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 I've done it. Okay, well, then if yep. you've done everything, then what you don't need me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but you're still looking for help because you're not growing your business, but you've done all these things.
Uh-huh.
So it's on our...
I've had one of those. And they're still in the same position that they were in. I was like, well, it's not the fact that I didn't teach you anything. You guys just, you know all the things. So you're going to keep going.
You know everything. You don't need any help.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't generated any revenue, but you know everything. So I said, okay. Uh-huh. If you actually want to, you know, so it's important. Look, like you said, it's important to value your own time, because if you don't value it, nobody else will.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to distinguish who's real, who's not. Like, I was talking to a prospect that was referred to me, and he said, I would love the help. And I said, this isn't help.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity for you to pay for services.
Yes.
Ordinarily, and Taj could vouch, I would say, yeah, I'd love to help you. But, mm-hmm. I had to change the conversation a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So look, I'm not looking, you know, whatever budget you may have, but you have to contribute something, because you need to have some, you need to make an investment in what we're
yes.
doing here. Because if I just offer you my services for free, it doesn't mean as much to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know what? You're right. Let me look at my budget and I'll come back to you. And he goes, even if it's a couple of hours a month, I said, and look, my feeling is, here's what I charge. Whatever you want to do by the hour or by mm-hmm. a package, whatever, it's up to you, but mm-hmm. we'll make it work. Mm-hmm. And again, I've worked with, you know, thousands and thousands of lawyers in my career. And one of them went out on their own, and she has a small firm, and one of her partners, and she owns the firm, one of her partners said to her, why are you working with that client for only 4 hours a month? She mm-hmm. said, technically, I need to fill my schedule 50 hours a week. And if this one only wants to give me 4, but it's 100 cents in the dollar, why wouldn't I give them the 4 hours?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I look at it. I look at my schedule.
Yeah.
And I start filling in the grid. Okay. My yep. goal is to fill in 40, 50 hours this week. And it doesn't matter if it's 3 clients or 12 clients. It could be
exactly.
You know, if, you know, I looked at the numbers, I could have 30 clients paying $1,000 a month, and you've got yourself a nice little business, and you're giving them a handful of hours. At the end of the day, I'd be working less hours than I am full time for a job.
Right.
You can make more money working less hours. You can really be efficient about these things. Mm-hmm. But it's all about, you know, to me, it's all about the client. It's really yeah. what they want. Like, a lot of them say, well, can you give me a plan? And can you give me that? I said, you know what? This is your business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what what you've done to date. I don't want to come in and give you a whole plan. It could be the complete antithesis of what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. So let's make it a collaboration.
Yeah.
And I really believe in that. I said, look, I can do all these things, but I'd like to know where you are, where you're at, where you got stuck. It may be a good idea, but you got stuck because you don't know somebody or just don't know how to take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And it'd be quicker for us to get success by looking at what you're currently doing and augment, add, delete, whatever, as opposed to me saying, here's a plan. I need a $500,000 budget. And you're going to say, well, I don't have that kind of money. Okay. Right. Then I waste 3 weeks putting together a plan. So I kind of shy away from that. And one of the clients I just picked up, he liked that. The fact that I said, I'm not doing a plan for you. I said, because it's not about me. It's what you want. And we need to do this together.
And that's the piece for me. Like, I have no problem having a set, like, here's my service packages. These are what I do. And say, what do you think is going to work with you and fit with your budget? If that doesn't fit within your budget, I'm willing to meet you halfway, but I want you to invest in something because I believe in what you want to do. And I want to partner with you to do that. So I don't want to fully outline every single thing that I have to devote and be fully contracted with this person for a year. Maybe we don't like each other and I don't want to work with them for that long, but maybe they don't like me either. Or maybe they've tapped into my well of expertise in that moment and it's only going to be 3 months long. So I want to make sure that I relate that effort, energy, collaboration. That's why I have my page on my business page that I've shared with Taj, is it truly is clients and collaborations of people where I want to refer them, whether they're former clients, whether they're people, because I just believe that there's power in that. But yes, you have to invest time or money. And if you're going to work with me, it's got to be both. Right. So even if it's two hours a week or whatever, I don't care, but I'm going to devote time to you too. And I need you to pay for it. My issue that I've had is really getting my messaging right. Like you talked about, it's been kind of all over. I think Taj, you can attest to that since you've known me through this whole journey. Because I was scared out of my mind to do the consulting thing, which I don't know why, but I was. And then now it's really like, well, what am I really enjoying? I really enjoy working with my service-based businesses who have a plan, a vision, a long-term plan or vision, and they're not just trying to transition and figure something out, and then I never talk to them again. So I want longer term relationships with people. And when you have someone who's, you know, been like my flower shop, I use her as an example often because she's been in business for 5 years. She makes $500,000 a year, but she didn't have streamlined systems and she was going crazy. And now over the past 6 months, her husband's like, my gosh, she's an entirely different person. Her business is more aligned. She got rid of an employee who was stealing money. You've put money back into her pocket. Her team is totally invested in her, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's what I love to do. That makes the most sense for me. And so it's just me coming back to that style of small business, 1 to 10 to 15 employees, you know, soccer coaches, sports coaches too. Turn yourself into a business entity. Quit being the person that gets paid and has to work for different soccer teams or four different teams so that you can make $60,000 a year. And then all of a sudden you have to pay half of that in taxes, right? Like at least do something with the business model. But again, those startups don't usually have enough money to do it for a period of time. So I do have a couple consultants that I work with that had money that are like, I need to work with you. And I'm with them every single week right now. My issue has been not able to get the pipeline, as you mentioned. So it was like, Frank told me, he's like, I don't know if you're teaching people how to refer you, you know? And I said, well, it's not just referring me clients. It's referring me people who could refer me clients as well. And so that was where I was like, oh, why don't I just treat myself the way that I did that with paychecks, where I needed small business owners. So I targeted accountants and I targeted bankers and I targeted insurance agents when I was in BNI in Denver. And that was how I established my practice basically. So I think it's really the same route. And I have a lot of attorney friends because I will not put my businesses without an eye of an eagle eye of an attorney on top of them. Because you have to do it right. And I'm not legal. So you need to have an attorney in your corner. So I really partner and want to partner with attorneys and accountants, because they truly are two professional categories, industries that I am not trained in. And I want to make sure that my clients have access to those people.
That's interesting. Maybe we can network with them. Again, I've worked with some of the biggest firms in the country, accounting and law, and I could do their marketing and be stuff was mostly do not know how to do it, especially the smaller mm-hmm. firms. My current firm now is 15 offices, 700 plus lawyers. It's huge.
Right.
But the small, you know, where there's five partners and they've got 10 associates, those firms really just kind of spend most of their time just trying to get the work done. And they're not really focused on marketing or BD, and they don't realize how kind of easy it really can be. Just for, for thought, I should talk to your lawyers and accountants. Because again, because I've had C-level positions at both industries. But yeah, I love the law firms and the accounting firms as conduits because you have access to their entire client base.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're usually when the accounting firms say they do consulting work, it's all usually from payroll or tax side. It's not marketing. It's not BD. It's not operations by any means. So there's an opportunity there again. And that's your pipeline. You know, you want to go to I call it the one to many. I can go to one law firm and they've got 250 clients. Well, heck, if they can give me two or three, I'm fine. I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
They go to an accounting firm, same thing. So they're good pipelines, and you want to fill your pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to look at your connections and say, okay, if I didn't know these people, if I didn't know people, period, and I had to start building my business from scratch, what would I do? Who would I talk to, and where would I go? That's kind of what you need to look at, because eventually, you know, yes, we could all go to friends,
mm-hmm.
but any a real business, you know, again, some people build lifetimes just on referrals from people they know, but most don't have that luxury.
Right.
And it's okay if I put all of my relationships aside, you know, the 1500 contacts on LinkedIn and maybe 200 are really good contacts. The other 1300 you met and you got a card, so you put them in your LinkedIn, what are you linked up, whatever. But it's trying to fill that pipeline. And again, would you rather knock on 1,000 doors or go to two meetings for two organizations and meet 500 people in each meeting? So that's the opportunity. The other thing is to try to, you know, again, the local chambers are good. Some have small businesses, real small, some don't. But a lot of the businesses in the chambers have been around for 10, 15, 20 years, their whole career. You know, their whole life has been in that chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's opportunities to sponsor a luncheon, speak to them, you know, present, get on panels. You know, there's a lot of ways to market your business. And to me, again, it's always finding out where they gather and try to get a speaking opportunity. What are they reading? Try to get something either bylined or quoted. What are they listening to? Try to get onto a podcast, whatever, for that industry. But, it, you know, your key is going to be the right message to the right audience in the right channel.
Yes.
That's everything. Because if any one of those are off, you're wasting your time. Because you can have the most unbelievable crafted message for party X and only party Y is hearing it.
Yeah.
Okay, we missed the mark. Or you've got the right message for the right audience, party A and party B. You got the right audience, right message, but the vehicle is completely off base. They're not listening to, you know, underground rail radio. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, you know, so all those are the three most important elements. And it's not nearly as important to be sophisticated about it. It's just a matter of, if I want to reach airline executives, and I know they belong to the National Association of Airline Executives, and they have a quarterly meeting, okay, and an annual meeting, and they have a publication and a podcast, okay, well, I know if I do any of those things, I'm hitting the right audience, I'll craft, obviously, the right message, and I have, obviously, several channels that I can reach them in. That's the home run.
And that was something I actually was part of this. Sometimes, you know, you need to go through hell and back to kind of get clear, right? You go through all these different things and you're like, what is working and what isn't? And part of that alignment of being able to go, okay, what am I good at is not always something I enjoy. And that's something that where I'm being recruited by people who want me to start up their whole thing. Startup is hard. Constantly doing startup is harder. Right. And it's not as fun as someone who's been more established. And so it's taking me time to go, well, okay, I'm good at certain things, but what else do I enjoy in this plan? And I love networking. I know that sounds weird, but I love being the conduit for people. And so I reached out to someone and literally we had a great conversation. And in that meeting, the within 30 minutes, I had three intros to her. One is a client, one is attorney, and one is someone else that I felt they all could synergistically help one another's business. And all of them were just like, holy crap, where does that come from? And I said, an innate wanting and willingness to see someone else succeed. And I said, and if I see you guys succeed, you're going to think of me and go, Kim is the person that needs A, B, and C. So it's without agenda too. And so that's what I love about the small business part is small business owners have to align in community in some way. They have to find people they can partner with because it's such an isolating feeling when you're brand new and you're not, you know, doing stuff. So if you have these different collaborators around, then you can really help improve that and catapult that person's business, which is why I love being in community like this, Taj. You know, we were talking about like, what am I, you know, why am I partnering with this community in certain ways, or why this community, or why this community? It's because I need access to people who can help my clients, who ultimately will think of me and say, hey, Kim is the person that will help this business. And then I was like, who else do I enjoy working with? I like talking to attorneys. I know it sounds weird, but I do, because they teach me things that I am unaware of because I'm not in law. And the same thing with accounting, because it doesn't come naturally to me. So my accountant that I've had for the past 10 years, I would just ask him questions. Can you help me understand my P&L better? Can you help me do this and this and this? This is what I need to align here and here and here. And he goes, Kim, you ask questions that most business owners don't even think about. And so he even supports me. He's like, you're really good at what you do because you ask the questions. That's what coaching is. And that's what I want my clients to feel, right? Is that feeling that they have someone in their corner, that someone really genuinely wants that. And so that's where it's like, okay, I'm good at something. And I also feel good about the something that I'm doing with my people. And so that's finally coming to fruition. And now I agree with you with now it's like, okay, I feel better with my messaging. Now, where do I go find the people that can help me find those people? And so I like your one to many concept, and that I can get out of my kitchen sometimes and not be on 7,000 Zoom calls every single day without purpose. Yeah.
Yeah, no, have you thought about starting your own community? Because you being someone who loves networking and you having all these people who you've already helped, if you were to bring all of those people together and constantly add new people who are your target audience, I feel like that's a way.
Right now, whenever someone says start something new, I lose my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am way too exhausted from starting something new right now. With everything that I've had gone on health-wise and the things that I have, I need to really hone in on what is working and be very clear in what I'm doing so that I can get healthy again. Yeah. Trying to build a new community, trying to do something new. Maybe it's that's where my resistance is the thought of doing someone's business development on my own is exhausting as it is. Yeah.
Well, just
and to me, a lot of the communities that we have, honey, we're all in the same ones. So I feel like I would be inviting the same people to a different community.
But you have people who are your target audience who aren't going to be in here or any of the other more athlete center. I'm saying with your new target, your new messaging, how you're focused more on just like the small, I think you said underserved business community is the people mm-hmm. you're targeting. And I feel like, I don't know if those people are necessarily in these types of communities. And as much as I love having you here, maybe that means swapping out, you know, being on here for an hour and you're just talking to your audience for an hour on a Saturday. Just a thought. I hear you though. I get scared about taking on new stuff. If it wasn't for Adam, Adam gave me a kick in the ass to start this because I've been thinking about it for so long. And I was like, I can't show up on my meeting with Adam next week and tell him I still haven't done shit, you know? So it's like,
that's funny. I don't want to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be the CEO. I don't want to be that person. I'm tired.
I think a lot of folks like us, you know, you think of other ways to do things to generate exposure because, you know, ideally I can tell you, you know, Kim wants to be the outsourced COO, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, if someone said to her, you know, here's a book of 20 clients, you're set. She wouldn't have to worry about networking. She wouldn't have to worry about building anything new. Mm-hmm. She just wants clients. Mm-hmm. If you want to be in business, you need clients.
Yeah.
Let's cut to the chase. We right. think about other things because we're trying to generate exposure, opportunity. We're trying to create. But, you know, I've really learned that, you know, you can't chase money. You must chase excellence. Excellence mm-hmm. will follow the money. And you know, and that's why literally, like, as Taj knows, even in the last few weeks, I've started to wean off certain meetings. I've started to wean off of certain volunteer stuff because I can't do 18 hours a day, every single day, where six of it is literally just giving and I'm not even building anything about it. And yes, I love to help people and I want to help people and it's gratifying. That's why we do it. But at the same token, there's only so much time in a day and you need to be, again, you need to A, value yourself, but B, you need to make sure you stay healthy. You can't weigh yourself out like that. So you've got to be smart about it, and less is definitely more. So you need to figure out where your time is best spent. But like I said, if Kim could get a book of 20 clients, 15, 20 clients, she would just have to focus on servicing her clients. They will be.
And I wouldn't have to work at Costco anymore.
Exactly. And they'd all become referral sources. They'd all become live testimonials. And they, and then while she's working with them and they're approving of what she's doing for them, that's when she asks, by the way, I would love for you to make two or three referrals if you could, especially when they're happy. The time to ask is in the middle of the project when they're happy.
Yep.
You don't wait until it's over. You don't do it up front. You, when you're in the middle and things are good, that's when you ask for your referrals. And that's part of your job.
Yeah.
Is to do that. So it's, you know, again, if I had a pipeline and I was always working with 30 paying clients, rotating them no matter what, you know, one dropped off, two come in, three drop off, six come in. I'm always doing 30, 40. I wouldn't be worried about anything other than servicing my clients. I would literally, on the end of the week, I would be dividing up my hours next week. Okay, I've got 50 hours in for next week. I'm giving these 5 hours, these four, these three, these two, and I'm just filled 50 hours. And I would just keep doing that. I wouldn't be looking to do anything else, because at the end of the day, it's about running your business. It's about having that pipeline filled, and it's about billing and, you know, providing services and billing for it. So, you know, it's when we have the bandwidth, because we're not at capacity, is when we think about doing a lot of other things. And like I said, they can't all be done. They all shouldn't be done. And certain things just become a distraction from your core. And it's not worth it. And I'm, you know, I'm always guilty of it as well. And I just said, you know what? No, I'd rather have 2 hours to myself to sit and watch a ball game for once. Keep churning and churning when you know some of it is just conversation, because a contact introduces to a contact. You've got to qualify everything and you've got to make sure that there's a value to it. And yes, it's great to meet people because you never know who you can connect. But, you know, a lot of times, like I know people who have made careers, not with money, careers, connecting people who've done deals and cut them out. Why? Because, hey, you need to meet this one. You should meet this one. You guys done. Great. And you didn't button it up. You didn't paper it up. And guess what? They went out and did a deal and made money. And you're on the sideline because you were nice enough to give them each other's name. So either monetize it or don't. But, you know, you could spend your life connecting people and not making money off of it. Just using your time, and they're just taking that and running with it and say, hey, thanks a lot, Kim, it's a great lead. So you've got to be smart about it. You've got to be a business person about it. You just can't, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, unless it's volunteer work, which I do a tremendous amount of, and I even cut back on that, you have to get paid for it. And I'm not saying you have to be greedy, but business is business. You know, the guy at the local card store likes me, but he's not giving me anything for free.
You know,
and I respect that he's running a business. And if he can throw me a discount once in a while, that's cool. But I'm not asking him for anything for free. And I don't expect him. I expect him to make, you know, profit on whatever he's selling. I get to be fair and equitable, but I expect him to make, or him or he or she to make money. And, you know, we all want to help people. And it's a great way to get visibility. And it's a great way to demonstrate your capability. So, like, I have a client of mine who does custom closet designs. He's probably doing seven figures without one stitch of advertising, marketing. Doesn't even have a website yet. Nobody knows him. It's all been referrals. So I said, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Habitat for Humanity, and you're going to do the closet portion of the next house they build, and you're going to get exposure in the news and PR, and you're going to tell people this is what you do. So I introduced him to the executive director of a local New York chapter, and he's going to provide his services.
There you go.
You know, so it's you want to do, you know, so I want him to do things that are strategic. Sometimes they will be a loss leader, But instead of paying for the exposure, he's paying for the materials and his time to make the closets, but he's getting it back in PR dollars, which would have cost him a lot more than what the closet was worth.
Yeah.
He had to pay for it. So everything needs to be strategic. And like, I don't focus so much on, like, you probably focus more on operations and structure and systems.
Mm-hmm.
I focus more on strategy and revenue growth, just because that's what I enjoy. And
right.
I don't want to have to sit with you and say you should be an LLC because, you know, the chapter rest is just a way for the accountants to get quarterly meetings, which means you do quarterly billings. And that's just a way to generate revenue for the accountants. I don't want to get involved in that stuff. I don't want to help you with taxes. I'm not certified to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer. So, but
when it comes to entity formation and changing all that stuff, that's not mine. That's the attorneys, you know, figure out which entity is going to work for you. Let's figure out what's policies and procedures and how you're actually running the day-to-day ops. And, you know, are your employees screwing you? Are they listening to you? Are you the business owner's like, I keep telling him not to do A, B, and C. I'm like, oh, so these are things that I listen for and go, okay, you're just being a micromanager. Do you have fun doing that? You know? So I do like doing that employee development, that policies and procedures, that standards of excellence, and building those board of directors around them so that they can actually get their job done and work with people to do their marketing and do their sales and ops, so they can figure out what other monetization strategies can we do to get this business to the next level financially. Because that's the whole point. Make money at the end of the day so you can live your life.
There's nothing wrong with that. Money's not a bad thing.
Exactly.
It's you're in business to generate revenue, and but I have one client, this one client who does the closet stuff. He's actually really amazing because he loves to educate himself. I mean, he travels all over the country to, like, if he wants to buy a particular machine, he will find out the manufacturer who's using it all over the country, and he will go spend time with them and learn and see
That's
how
awesome.
They're using it. I mean, and I call him a student of the game because he learns everything about it. And it's so intriguing. So he's like, if you don't hear from me for a few days, it's usually because I'm traveling, I'm learning something new. And I'm like, that's fine with me. I go, we don't need to speak every day. I know what my orders are, and I know what I need to do for you. So while you're out educating yourself and trying to do things better, like, he's talking about materials that are waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
How cool.
Yeah.
Materials that are antimicrobial. I'm like, antimicrobial cabinets? Like, really? But that's really cool, because that's newsworthy stuff. That's cool angles when you're talking about what differentiates you from your competitors. Well, for example, if I work with a healthcare client, I could actually give them antimicrobial materials for their cabinets.
Yeah.
I'm like, never heard of that before. Or if you have houses that are in flood zones or whatever, you can do waterproof materials. I'm like, that's really novel. And whether they do it or not, I don't know. But the point is, that's different than the other 30 cabinet makers closet designers that you're going to come across. But like I told him, and he wasn't thinking about it, I said, think about your audience. Where can you fill your pipeline? I said, you know, there's a whole organization and a whole movement of people who do professional organizing.
Mm-hmm.
Go to them. They're not contractors. They're not builders. They have nothing to do with making.
Go to cleaning companies.
Right. I said, go
because
to
it's a heck of a lot easier for me to clean a cabinet than as a cleaning company if it's actually not filled with grime all the time.
You know, and it's like, okay, if you're going to go and declutter a home, they're probably going to need some kind of organization system. And that's where you come. So every house they go to could be a potential client for you.
Yeah.
So start thinking in those ways. And it's about connecting the dots.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the fun part about it, is because people are so laser focused on what they're doing, and I get it. That's not a negative, that they don't think, out of the box, so to speak. I tease him. I'm like, you make boxes, right? I go, you don't think out of the box, and he laughs. But I'll give you an example. Working with lawyers, lawyer says to me, I'm going to Vegas to this trade industry show. I want to have we always do side events during because we all the people are there, so we always have our side dinner, at a restaurant, and we bring like 50, 60 clients or prospects in. And he says to me, the organization won't give me the attendee list, so I don't know who's going, so I can't invite them in advance. He goes, so I can't do my dinner. I said, yes, you can. He goes, well, how are we going to invite people? You've got 100 of the most qualified speakers in the country on this subject matter. Invite the speakers.
There you go.
Never thought of that. I never would have thought of that in a million years, he said, because my mind doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty. Well, that's why we all bring something to the table, because if everybody could do everything, then they won't need us.
Right.
But those are the kinds of things, simple things like that. Or, you know, I had a photographer who, I'm thinking sports, entertainment, fashion. I go, okay, pick one.
Mm.
I narrowed it down. I really want to do fashion. He lives in Seattle.
Okay.
I go, do you know that 20 minutes away from you, there's a whole fashion industry? They're doing fashion week. There's runway shows. There's this, there's that, the other. You know, I was 20 minutes away from this whole thing. So I said, let's look at the calendar of events. There's a runway show next week. Call the organization. Tell them you're going to volunteer and shoot it for free. They said yes in 30 seconds. He goes. They love him. They gave him the rest of the event calendar for the year. Home run.
Boom.
It's great. You know, are they all that easy? No, but it's the ability to, like what I do, I connect the dots in that way.
Right.
Service, I need to know, and I can figure out who your audience is or who your pipeline to that audience is. So I look at people in this way. I look at every opportunity this way. Another business is either a client. They're either a prospect, a client, a referral source, or a key influencer. So it's rare that you walk away from a person or a company with no opportunity. If you look at it, and if you put them all in four buckets.
You said prospect, client, referral source, and what else?
And a key influencer.
Okay.
Because a key influencer may not say, hey, go use Kim, but they may promote you on their website and say nothing else. So it's an inferred reference, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a pamphlet for a drug at the pediatrician's office. He's not telling you to use it. It's sitting right there, though. Well, he said, well, doctor's promoting this. Obviously, there's value to it. It doesn't matter that maybe the local drug rep comes by and changes out the pamphlets every week. But the point is, they're an influencer because it's sitting on their shelf while you're in the waiting room. You're staring at it for an hour. Eventually, you pick it up. And now you know all about this drug for X, Y, and Z disease state or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and a referral source is someone who says, hey, I work with Kim. You should use her. Or I haven't used her, but I know people who have. She's great. At least give her a chance. That's a referral source. Mm-hmm. And obviously, a client and a prospect, we know what they are. Mm-hmm. So, but that's how I look at it. So, like when I used to go to trade shows when I worked at a consumer product company, I found something to do at every one of those booths that were there.
Yeah.
You know, you were either going to be my client, you or your prospective client, and I have to sell you, or your referral source, or you're going to be a key influencer. I had to figure out how to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it increases your odds, obviously. Now it's not just like, hey, you do want to buy my product? No. Okay, we're done.
But right.
I'm selling a skincare product. You've got a supplement product. Okay, mm-hmm. We're going after the same audience, but we're not competitors. Let's cross market. Let's recommend each other. Those kinds of things. So, you know, for me, it's inherent because I've been doing it for 25 years. All I've been doing is marketing and business development.
Right.
But I've never done sales. I look at business development as connecting the dots, doing my homework, knowing my client, knowing the audience, or what they're, you know, again, the old cliche, their pain points, what keeps them up at night, but not selling them, so to speak. Mm-hmm. More about just information's power, but more importantly, information's is revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you how many times three senior white-haired men went to an inner-city bank to meet three, you know, young Black women who run the bank, and obviously there was no connection. You've got to know your audience.
Know your audience, people, for sure.
And I know people who have clients and still don't know what their client. Oh, I didn't know my client did A, B, and C. They only use me for this, but I didn't realize they do. I'll give you a great example. I've got a small consumer product, cleaning product that I've done with some partners. And he went into this one food processor / distributor, and he wanted to get them to buy it to distribute to all their clients. I said, you know, they've got a fish processing business inside and a meat processing business. They can be a customer of ours as well as a salesperson for us. And it's just about knowing. So now he went in with three opportunities, not just one. And that's the name of the game. So that's why I like what I do, because I enjoy that. And it opens the business owner's eyes to opportunity to grow revenue.
Yes. That's the whole point, right? It's like streamlining and doing some efficiencies and then having the connections to think outside of the box, as you mentioned. And I've shared with people, I said, you want to know my biggest fault? My biggest difficulty, I'm not very good at marketing myself. And if I know that, I need to have people who can market me,
right?
And so learning what you're not good at and admitting it and being able to say, okay, here's an area that I'm not excellent at, but I'm willing to learn about it. And I'm getting better at copywriting, getting better at certain things, but I am good at networking, asking for questions and learning. Those things I'm really good at. So being able to say, hey, I don't know how to do this, but I know someone who does, and learning from them, and then knowing that there's that partnership there, right? Obviously, I've done this many years less than you. I learn from you every time I hear you speak, right? Take constant notes. But Taj and I do the same thing with each other. That's the part of community too. So being able to admit areas of weakness, because so many small business owners feel that they have to be everything to all people and never ever show their flaws. That's where you screw up, right? Or you say, oh, well, I really enjoy doing this, when you don't. Like, admit the spaces that you don't feel really competent in and that you don't want to do. Like, I don't need to be the CEO. I don't want to be the head of a business and have a whole thing. I don't want to do that anymore. I did it. Been there, done that, sold it, right? Now I want to help other people do it, and I want to partner with them so they can see success and they can be one of the 17% who can actually say they built and sold a business, right? So I want to be able to partner with people like that. But my area of expertise was not marketing. It was relationships. Right. It was the sales without being salesy. It was being the handshake and a smile and knowing that I could provide you the solution that you're seeking and do it with integrity and credibility. And I think that's a piece too that people, you know, I don't want to align with people who don't have good business ethics. So when I do sit down and talk with people and I want to know what their business is about, I do want to partner with their attorney. I do want to partner with their accountant. I want to make sure that they have a business that is filled with integrity. And it doesn't matter what that business is. Like, I love the cabinet stuff. That's awesome. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me what business someone is in. What I care about is that they're in the business to be in business, to have a successful business, and that they care about what they're doing and that they're willing to say, hey, I don't know how to do this. I really would like to use your help because you know how, and you've done A, B, and C. What did you do when? And that's the kind of client that I want to work with. So I really appreciate that side of being able to go, this is my wheelhouse as a CMO. And this is where I think in terms of these bigger ideas and ideas that a business owner, when you're in it, you have a really hard time looking up and seeing opportunity, right? And I think that's your skill set. Yes. That's yes. Something that's really empowering.
You know, it's you're right. You know, it's really kind of amazing. You know, I still, even if a business is in existence for a long time, I start with their business plan.
Yeah.
And make them go through the exercise. And so many times, like, you know what? I didn't realize I was all over the place. I never focused on a particular audience.
Mm-hmm.
And as they go through it again, they start to say, you know what? They start to define, here's who my best client is or may be or should be. I was talking to, and I know we have another guest. So we can invite them into the conversation, of course, because we have two people who can talk forever. So please feel free to interrupt us.
For sure.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought, Adam, because we're going to jump off in a second, but I do want to give Shira a chance to introduce herself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the point is, you know, even though they've been in business and even they have some success, a lot of times it's in spite of themselves, the cash cow comment, right? But when you get them through the exercise and get down to the fundamentals, they kind of regroup and say, wow, I really have a refocus now and I'm ready to go after that market. So, you know, again, the best clients are those that don't think they know everything, that are open to suggestions, open to saying, hey, I don't know what I don't know. And you know, those are the ones that really you can work with and you can appreciate one another. With that, I'll turn it over to the host of this morning's festivities.
he literally, he batted it to us. So we just kept going playing catch.
I mean, that's great. People in this group have heard me talk endlessly. So to hear you two just go back and forth, I'm excited to listen back to this one. And I'm probably going to share this one out on the podcast. So thank you both for being here and everything you shared. With that, Shir, before we jump off, first of all, what time is it in Israel right now?
It's 8 p.m.
Okay, so it's not that bad. I thought it was going to be like midnight or something.
No, it's okay.
So Shir is
7 hours ahead of New York.
Yeah, not too bad. Shir is a former coaching client of mine, and she's lives in Israel, like we said. She's a former Olympic judo athlete and just an overall great human being. So Shir, you're introducing yourself to Kim and to Adam, but also to anyone in this group who's watching the recording and listening to the podcast. So tell everyone a little bit about. No pressure. Like you're a pro. You've been hosting big podcasts and doing speaking gigs, so you're perfectly equipped for this situation. Just tell people who you are and what you have going on right now, and where to find you too.
Yeah, thank you. So first of all, nice to meet you all. I just listened for a few minutes and it was really interesting. And Dash, thank you for this opportunity of making, like, meet new people. It's really nice. It's cool that I can meet someone from the other side of the world and just being together in a meeting without getting out of my house. So it's really cool. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself. So as Tash told, I was an athlete. I was a judoka. And after I met Tash, I started my own podcast. So now I also have a podcast as Tash. And I started to building a community of athletes and former athletes here in Israel, because we don't have something like that. And also in Israel, we are not talking about the mental issues of being athletes and all the stress and stuff. We don't have, it's not popular as in the US. So I started to do it also in my podcast and now in the community. We had our first event like 2 weeks ago. And it was like really cool. People really enjoyed and they really liked the idea of building something like that and being part of that. And after the event, everyone came to me and then they said to me, oh, we want to help you. How we can help you to build this community. So it was really nice. And now I'm learning how to build this community, what I need to do, which events are good to the community, what they want to have in the community, how to do a business structure and stuff. That's the hardest part for me because I don't have so knowledge about businesses, so it's really hard for me, but I'm trying, and all this challenge, it's make me be better, and the challenges make me like learn how to solve stuff and like learn more. So I really like it.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Awesome. Yeah.
and well, for anyone watching the recording, definitely check out Shear's profile in here, because then you'll be linked to her podcast and her website and all that type of stuff. And that goes for Adam and Kim, of course, too. But if you've been listening to the recording this long, you probably already dug up everything about Adam and Kim. So awesome. Well, thank you, guys. I don't want to take up your whole Saturday. Thank you all for being here. This is definitely one I am excited to listen back to. I appreciate you just spending time coming on here. So, yeah, nice to see all your faces. And I'll see you again soon.
Nice to see you. Congratulations, Shear. Adam, thank you. Thank you. You and I need to talk more.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Great to get to see everybody. Thanks for the opportunity, Taj.
Absolutely. Thanks. Bye, guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Bye.
Bye. You too.